And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 861. Your week 13 Fab recap, some potential players to drop later on in the show, and much, much more. You can find me on Twitter at BDNTrick and my co-host, as always, to help break the week 13 spending down players we liked, we didn't like, so on and so forth. You can find him on Twitter at BreakingBen_T, still hanging around in the top 10, around the top 5 of the main event overall. The kid himself, Ben Tidd. How you doing, my friend?
Doing pretty good, Bubba. Yeah, thanks for the shout-out. Lost a couple points or positions in the standings, but still in a good spot. And I like the shout. Nick Anderson in the chat said Ben Rice Tidd. Yeah, Ben had a nice homer yesterday. I was pretty happy about that, Ben Rice. So just got to keep chugging along. And that's kind of how Fab was this week, too. People are still making moves.
Yeah, they still are making moves, and we're kind of waiting for that other shoe to drop. But sooner or later, it will. Like, the spending will go down, but the number of moves hasn't changed a whole lot. So speaking of that, Ben, why don't you let everybody – I guess it changed a little bit. But why don't you let everybody know what we got this past week in terms of spending and whatnot around main events and online championships?
All right, yeah. So first up, we'll cover the OCs, the 12-teamers. The remaining balance per team on average now is 351 through 13 weeks. Actually caught up to 2025, and it's actually $1 more. So last year at this time, the average balance per team was $350, so one behind that pace. And that's mainly because another big drop in spending. Week 12, it was like more than $20 less than 2025. And this week in week 13, on average, OC teams spent $32, which is down from $43 last year. And on top of that, it was actually the fewest ads per league, which is only 20 per team, 20 ads per league. So basically like one and three quarters per team in the OCs. And that's probably going to keep dropping as teams fall out of it and we get closer to football season. So already seeing a big halt in the OC spending, and then going to the main events, similar story, but I don't think it's as extreme. The remaining balance so far through 13 weeks in the main event is $325 per team compared to $333 last year. So we closed the gap to about $8 on average, whereas it was $19 last week. And that's because we only spent $41 on average per team in week 13, whereas in 2025, it was $52. And the 41 was pretty close to 39 last week, whereas in 2025, it was 58 in week 12. So last 2 weeks have slowed down big time in the main event as well, and that allowed our balance to get closer to what it was last year. And similarly, with the number of ads per league, the main only had 32, which was tied for the second fewest so far this year. Going back to week 3, that was 29 ads per league. We're at 32, I said, and that's about 2 per team. So the main's a little more active on average per team than the OC, which it shouldn't really become as a surprise because there's more OC leagues, more opportunities for people to check out, and main's also a much bigger buy-in, so people have a little bit more incentive to keep fighting. And I think that's probably gonna be the trend going forward still, but even so, the main still has slowed down compared to last year at least, and that's what we've been saying, that it was gonna catch up eventually.
Yeah, it's just interesting seeing it like that $11 drop off the main event after the even bigger one the previous week, and we still got some more we're halfway through, like I said, basically we 27 weeks gone, 13 weeks through this. The OC, just only 20 moves on average, is wild to me. But being in multiple OCs, you can kind of see when you recheck your fab that, yeah, things are starting to get quiet. So that's why I'm not afraid to fire off what I got going if I got money still to, because it's going to be pretty easy here pretty soon to get $5 or less players for the rest of the season, maybe dollar players in those formats. And honestly, even in some of the 15s, like the big guys that we're going to talk about still went high, but there was a lot of quote unquote value or nice price tags in these formats, as you would know, as you're a bargain bin shopper these days in some of your leagues, and you're still ended up with some pretty good players. So there's nothing false about it. Like, even what our buddy Jason Santu, he posts his fab results each week, and he had a ton of $5 and less players. Like, he had a very, very light week, but they're all very serviceable players if you want to play the streaming game, which we can do for the second half of the season. All right, using Ryan's fab tracker here, let's check out the most added players across the NFBC. We'll start with the OCs. We'll talk main events as well. We'll correlate them all together because most of these, at least first players, will be in both formats. And the top one, Braden Montgomery, added in 236 online championships, as high as $436 Thanks for waking up and realizing we're playing fantasy baseball this year. Minimum $1, average of 67. The 75th percentile is $83. That makes a lot more sense. In the main event, Braden Montgomery was added in all 60 main events, Ben. As high as 211, as low as 26, average of 98. So some pretty big spending for Mr. Braden Montgomery. Got called up this past week, hit safely in 3 of 4 games, 5 hits overall, 1 home run, a walk-off home run in his debut, Ben. Yeah, I know you got the minor league stats up, so I'll leave that fun for you. But as a whole, productive ball player in the minors, big prospect excitement for some. So what are your thoughts on this Braden Montgomery spending spree?
I guess it's not surprising that he's the highest or the player with the most money put towards him this week. We are getting to the bottom of the barrel in terms of prospects, I think, at this point. I think the only other really big one that I'm aware of is Keith Anderson of the Mariners, and he's a starter. So
if Josh Baez ever gets called up, that'll be one that people
He's got some K issues, though, I think, swing and miss.
Yes,
I don't know.
Yes, he does.
I think the Cardinals have to be really out of it for him to get called up, but we'll see. Yeah, and with Montgomery, he's really young. He's only 20. He's 23. Looking at his stats, basically a full year in the minors combined with last year and this year, full major league season, that is 22 total home runs, 19 steals. That's with 13 quad stealings. He actually had more quad stealings this year than actual successful steals, 5 to 6. But he has a good average in the minors. So he does have some speed and some power. And yeah, the opposite field homer was a pretty big exclamation on his debut. And 263 average to start is fine. Not too many Ks yet. I don't think that was necessarily an issue in the minors. Yeah, 194 and 658 at bats. That's with a decent number of walks. So maybe it's a little bit higher ratio than you'd hope for in a prospect like this. But we'll have to wait and see how the Ks actually turn out to be once he gets playing more. Yeah, you kind of alluded to it. I couldn't really afford Montgomery based on where he went and whether it was the OC or the main event. I don't really have that much money left to allocate to a hitter. And I did have bids for him, but they're very uncompetitive. And it's just so I wanted to pull up total spend. This is using Waxman's report for the year as a whole. It's all in one sheet. Top names: AJ Ewing, Noah Schultz, J.R. Ritchie, Waldschmidt, who just got sent down. I'm skipping some, but these are all the rookies. Toley's been good. Bolte, Emerson. Now Braden is the 11th highest in the main event in terms of total dollars spent this year. Braden Montgomery, that is. So a lot of those names have been kind of bust. And that's the only thing I'll say is that I'm just hesitant to say that he's going to hit the ground running, Montgomery. Because he's young and just you never know what's going to happen with these rookies. But sometimes they hit literally and figuratively, but I guess if you're at this point in the year, you got to hope that he'll be helpful. And this is kind of fueled by, was there an injury? I'm trying to pull up the roster for the White Sox. Yeah. Hayes got hurt. So maybe that's why, but
Hayes is on the 60 day. He was already out though. They just started mixing some things up. And I think once they realized Hayes was going to be gone for a while, they made that move. Cause they made it, they called him up a couple days before Pereira came back. Like he was already rehabbing. So it's kind of this is kind of an interesting situation here. But, yeah, I think the Hayes just pretty much things like he's done made a bigger impact on that potentially.
And, yeah, I know people like Pereira. I don't think he's that good. He strikes out too much still. The K numbers kind of reverted back. So it seems like the runway is there for Braden Montgomery. And he deserves to be the most spent on this week. It's just it's a risky bid. And at least it's below $100 now, mainly because the FAB is dwindling, like I mentioned at the start of the show. So it could work out, but seems more likely that it won't.
Yeah, we'll see. He wasn't my top option this week. I don't have anything against him, but it's kind of like I was telling you, you and Ryan in our weekly chats, our daily chats, I should say, actually, when we were talking FAB yesterday, I was swinging high for some of these guys because if they can hit it to some of the potential that's being discussed, you were saying earlier, maybe the last big impact guys that are getting called up. And with all the injuries around the last few weeks, especially this past week, it's kind of do or die time for certain teams. So it's like, go get these guys and see what happens. Right or wrong, we shall see. But that's one reason I think we're going to talk about the two big dogs prospect-wise got called up that got most of the action this week. All right, the coffee man himself, Cole Keurig, whichever you want to go with. of the Colorado Rockies picked up in 235 OCs, somehow did not get picked up in one. Maybe he was already rostered, which would be wild if so. As high as 169, as low as a buck, average of 46. So pretty reasonable average, honestly, $46. In the main events on all 60 mains, as high as 133, as low as 24. Average of 76. So if you look at the Coffee Man, he was $21 cheaper than Montgomery on average in OCs and $22 cheaper than Montgomery on average in main events. The Coffee Man, he got to enjoy Vegas and Coors to start out his career. Not too shabby. Hit safely in 4-6 games, 2 home runs, 19% K rate, which I think is pretty good. Known for 30 stolen bases in the minors this year. None so far, which is kind of surprising, but did flex his muscle a little bit. You know, we'll be back in Coors at the end of this week. He's playing for now, Ben, and that's all we can say in Colorado. So what are your thoughts on the Coffee Man, Cole Kerrig?
I think he's probably more deserving of being the runner-up than Montgomery would have been versus who should go 1-2 in the spending this week. Not that it really matters, but yeah, Kerrig has a great profile. I pulled up his minor league numbers, and he reminds me, honestly, of Henry Bolte because he had mid-teens homers.
You love Henry Bolte, so yeah.
Yeah. The only issue, though, and I'll get to that, is who they play for. So 15, 17 homers for Kerrig in his two, I'll say, full seasons, about 120 games each. And then those seasons, he had 46 and 53 steals. That's 2025 and then 2024. He had a 283 average in 2024. It's at the 237 in 2025. The Ks went up a little bit. So it could be a combination of this higher strikeout rate in 2025 and maybe a little lower BABIP, just based on the numbers I'm looking at. But this year he's hitting 338. Yeah, and you said 30 steals in 57 games is insane. But then you have the Rockies problem. And you and I both dealt with Jordan Beck and Brenton Doyle not getting playing time to start the year.
Yeah.
I don't know how high, like, pick-wise. I might have right here. Is CB the what's that stand? You know what that stands for? That's the round he was in. Pick seven. Oh, so it must be like that compensation round. He was pick 65. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, that's Kerrig. And Jordan Beck, for example, I think he was a top pick for the Rockies, and he did great last year, and then they just sat him this year. And then we've seen Zach Veen, who was a top prospect. We saw him get called up by the Rockies, and then, well, he also struggled, but they didn't really give him a chance to get going, really, when he was called up last year. So what I'm getting at is I'm just concerned that Kerrig won't be around for long. They have a lot of injuries in their outfield. They've been playing McCarthy all the time, Jake McCarthy, that is. Kerrig's a center fielder. They have Troy Johnson in the out in right field mainly, and he's been there all year. So if they get Moniak back, and then he'd be like the biggest, I think, obstacle to Kerrig. But if Kerrig's playing well, maybe they move someone else out. But when everyone was there in the beginning of the year, the Rockies were just mixing and matching constantly. So that has me a little more concerned with Kerrig's playing time. But I guess maybe that's why he went for a lower price as well. So I think I like the profile of Kerrig better because of the power and those steals. And similar story for me with Kerrig as Montgomery. I didn't have the money to bid competitively on Kerrig. And so that's kind of just why I didn't get him anywhere. But I would have been cautious because of the Rockies and just the logjam that we could see once people come back. So I don't know what the outlook for Beck and Doyle is, but they're just kind of looming there in case something does happen.
Yeah, I honestly haven't heard anything on Beck. Beck had a hamstring. Doyle had an oblique, and I look at news every day and nothing. Mickey Moniak's supposed to start ramping up here. They're hoping to have him back in 2 to 3 weeks if all goes well with his ankle injury. So you still have a couple weeks of Kerrig to see where it goes. The other positive for Cole Kerrig is he's playing center field every game, where I don't think – maybe I'm mistaken, but I don't feel like Moniak was a center fielder. That felt more like a Doyle or Beck situation in that mix because McCarthy's in left. You have then you have Johnson and Freeman manning right field. So I think Johnson and Freeman could be the odd man out on that one. But to your point, when Beck and Doyle come back, it's a whole other situation and see where it goes. As Mark Jordan in the chat says here, the Rockies should be on the phone with the Phillies for an outfielder. The Phillies could use them. The Phillies can call the Giants too if they'd like. We have Harrison Bader. They know him well. They can have him for free. Take him, please. Because Elliot Ramos should be back soon. But yeah, I understand your Kerrig concerns. I liked him. I think it's worth a jab. And I guess on the bright side, I know it's still like percentage of your remaining budget, so it's still a chunk type thing. but I guess the number in my brain always says it feels different. I'm not like blowing my budget on this guy. So if he's only here for 3 weeks, I can accept it and move on. But like you as a statistical guy would tell me, Bubba, well, that's still at this time, you know, 40% of your budget, which, you know, but it still hurts you, which does make sense. So we'll see. We'll see how that one pans out. The next most added player in the NFBC OCs, surprise, surprise, it's not the next prospect. We talk about him later on. It is Mangum style. Jake Mangum was picked up at 123 leagues, as high as $56 for Jake Mangum in the OCs, as low as a buck, average of 11. He was picked up in 16 main events, as high as 55, as low as 7, average 24. Now you're going to start seeing a lot of reasonably priced ad drops this week for the rest of the show, outside of maybe Blaze Jordan when we get to him. But Mangum style's back. He's playing versus lefties and righties, which is great to see. And since just around May 30th, it's been like 2.5 weeks, hitting .429 with a home run and 7 steals. Oh, and Ben, there's going to be a theme. We're going to talk about a lot of Pirates today. Why are we talking about Pirates, Ben? Does anybody know why we're talking about Pirates this week? You're muted.
Maybe that's why you didn't hear me before. I was trying to talk to you before. So that's on me. So yeah, thank you for saving me that. It's because they play in Coors and Sacramento.
Yes, it's a beautiful, glorious, one of the best weeks we'll see from a road team all season long. So what do you got on a Mangum style? Because I know you're in the bidding for him. I got a few shares as well.
Yes, I actually saw it from your bench, because I think you were showing me you have a team with, yes, Brian Reynolds, and I saw the next week's schedule. I go, oh, wow, what a matchup for the Pirates. But yeah, I was in on Mangum. I think he was only available in a couple of my four leagues that are fab. He was unavailable in a couple of leagues that he was added back in week 10. I was able to get him in one of my in the one main event where he was available. And I guess luckily that team needs steals, and so it was a perfect matchup for me to try to be aggressive on Mangum. He's playing center now because of the O'Neill Cruz injury, and I think Cruz is out for at least a month, so the playing time should be there. I also wanted to see how he was doing before that. Mangum was a victim of playing part-time. Before the Cruz injury, he was playing a mix of right and left, and not all the time. But at the same time, there was like Valdez was mixing it in. Ozuna was playing DH, but he's kind of done now. So even if O'Neill Cruz does come back healthy in a month's time, I think Mangum could still be playing, assuming he's playing well, and he has been playing well. So I think it was a no-brainer if you need speed, and hopefully there's a good chance that you would hold him going forward. I think the lack of power would hurt Mangum in an OC, but if you can maybe pick the spots right, it could work, or if you have a really heavy power team, you could afford it. But especially in a 15, he's probably someone you add and hold on to even after this great week of matchups. So I was pretty excited to get him on at least one team.
Yeah, 15s, I think he's going to give you tons of upside for now, especially playing every day. I'm with you on 12s. Like I plan on keeping him because I have pretty good power in most spots, and that batting average boost is tremendous at this time of the year. So sticking with it for now, like if I see any slight decline in production, like we can move on from Jake Mangum. But for now, I'm going to ride that till the wheels fall off. The next most added player in the NFBC Online Championship was Elvis Alvarado at 118 OCs, as high as 68, as low as a buck, 16 on average. Added in 57 main events, so another one of the top dogs over there. Picked up as high as 62, as low as 9, average of 31. Elvis Alvarado makes sure he leaves the building with a win more often than not. Two straight saves and two appearances for Elvis. He still splits time with Hollywood Hogan Harris. But Alvarado's been great. Four straight appearances with no runs allowed. Basically, six of his last 11, he has not allowed a run. 20 Ks and 15 innings with 7 walks. He's got the wildness of a normal reliever. It's just the world of baseball, but skills are very good. Stuff's very nasty. What were your thoughts on Elvis Alvarado?
He was, I think, the top reliever in my bid list where I needed a closer this week in my leagues. And I had him very tightly with, you mentioned, Hogan Harris. I either had them at the same price or Hogan slightly below Elvis. So I was preferring Elvis mainly because of the right-handedness. I think there's more likely a chance that he would get saves more often than Harris. Mainly, I think there's more likely that Harris would face a lefty heavy pocket. But in between the two saves for Alvarado, Harris got a save. He got the save not before that. So before Elvis's first save of last week, it was actually Mason Barnett who got the save. And then Harris had one, I think, last week. But they both have had saves in the last 2 weeks, Harris and Alvarado. So I think it's relatively split. That's what Roster Resource thinks. They actually include Mason Barnett in the committee of the three of them. Whereas Closer Monkey has it just as Hogan Harris and Elvis Alvarado as the shared saves. So that's why I had them pretty interchangeable with the lean on Elvis because of the hand in this. And he had a filthy week. I think he had like 7 strikeouts last week.
Yeah.
He had 8 strikeouts and 2 saves. Retired all 10 batters he faced. So almost struck out everybody he faced. That's pretty dominant. Not surprised he was the top reliever this week. And he had 16 on average in the OCs. That's so cheap. In the mains, he was 31, about double. I was like in the low 20s. And as in my leagues, I just got beat out, unfortunately, on Alvarado. But it's just more of a flyer because I think I don't have anything up that like this now, but the A's have had so many different guys get saves that it's hard to think they're going to commit. We thought it was Jack Perkins who was going to be the closer. It seemed like an obvious fit, and they wanted him to start afterwards. So you never know. Not that Alvarez is going to start because he's not that kind of pitcher. But just there were cautionary bids, and I think there's a chance they could pay off, or he's just cycled through kind of like Harris has been.
Yeah, I was fine with Harris or Alvarado. I think Alvarado's nastier. I agree. It makes sense if you want to look at righty-lefty who might get the better matchups. The reason if I was going to give Harris any type of boost, because I don't even know if we're talking about him tonight, I think he's been widely rostered for a while. He's like such a leverage guy where he leads the team in saves. But he also gets a ton of win chances. So he's kind of almost like their poor man's Grant Taylor, if that makes sense, where he kind of gets that role where Alvarado will clean up more often than not when Harris is used elsewhere. So I think they're both going to be pretty – like I wouldn't be shocked if it's close to 50-50 or 60-40 when we're all said and done. And at this time of this baseball season, I'm fine with that if I need saves. Like just give me something I can at least hope I get at least one a week on, maybe two, and we can walk away. So I think both are in play. I like Elvis as a – probably the 1A out of that situation, and Harris the 1B. All right, the next most added player in NFBC Online Championships, Brandon Young of the Baltimore Orioles. Now we're starting to get late season cute, folks. Brandon Young picked up in 108 leagues, as high as 45, as low as a buck, average of 11. Picked up in 4 main events, average of 40, high of 71. He was already widely rostered. He's also dropped in 2 main events and dropped in 1 OC, so not everybody was on the Brandon Young train. One reason people really were excited for Brandon Young is he has a two-step at Seattle and then at the Dodgers. This does not scream 12-team worthy to me because, well, I didn't even put a bid in on Brandon Young. Now, I get it. It's been 3 earned runs or less and all but 1 outing this year. That's fine. 42 Ks and 19 walks and 56 and a third innings, Ben. I just couldn't bring myself to roster Brandon Young, especially in a 12-team league.
Yeah, that's the difference, Bubba. He's someone I've been looking at the last couple of weeks, Brandon Young, just because he's been showing up on like the most strikeouts in free agency over the last 14 days whenever I do the filters on the NFBC page. And I had been hesitant to add him in those last few weeks because looking at the previous starts going up to that point in time, he had a lot of walks. And he actually had 3 straight starts in the middle of May where he allowed 3 walks, and most of them were 2 of them were 5 Ks, and then 1 was 3 walks, 3 Ks. So the underlying numbers weren't that good for a while for Brandon Young, but then he's kind of turned it around a little bit lately. His last 3 starts, only 3 total walks versus the Blue Jays twice and then the Mariners once. I think the Blue Jays have been struggling, so maybe it's a product of why he did better in the last few times around. But the underlying numbers last 3 weeks for Young looked really good. 16.9% K minus walk, 11.6 swing strike. His CR and XFIP are in the mid threes. Only thing that's really negative for him is the hard hit is almost 50% in that time period. His XERA in that time is 4.45, but not throwing balls, 31% ball rate. That kind of supports the 3.9% walk rate in that time. He's getting swings outside the zone, so he's pitching pretty well. But then you kind of alluded to the tough matchups with the Mariners again, and then the White Sox to end it. I mean,
Dodgers.
Then the Dodgers then.
Dodgers.
Yeah. Dodgers. Yeah. I don't know why I said White Sox. Yeah. But there's a chance that he would get pushed because it's a Sunday.
That would change things.
Yeah. It'd be. But then you're kind of losing out on the appeal.
Because then you get the Angels with ball. Is it better, though? Because you get the Angels and the Nationals next week. Nationals are not the walk either.
Yeah, so the Angels seem good, but then it's like the second one would always be bad. Yep. And then if he's playing the Nationals the following weekend, then that's not appealing either. So I don't know. Definitely more of a 15-team add to your point. I agree with you there. And he has some interesting skills. I did not add Young anywhere this week. He may have been added already. He was...
He only got
he had been scooped up in 15s already. Yeah. So I've been looking at him, and then I just kind of missed out on the better starts. So good for whoever did. And it's going to be a very tricky two-step, like we just said. So good luck.
I know people will hate this comparison, but even if you just look at his stat lines, it's not that far off, because I've rostered this other player a ton, and I even dropped him in my AC this week. Patrick Corbin puts up very similar stat lines every week to what Brandon Young. Young might have a little higher chaos, like little. Because there's some outings where Corbin will get you to 5. Other than that, like ratio-wise, they're pretty darn similar. They're only going about 5 innings every start. So just to kind of give a comparison to listeners, and they might be like, hey, but Bubba, like, I get it. He's pitching well of late. That's fine. But if you want to know like who he's pitching like, it's a lot like Patrick Corbin right now. And everyone gives me crap for Patrick Corbin all the time. And hey, not saying you're wrong for giving me that, but I've planted the flag long enough. I can't just walk away like that. But yeah, just to kind of put a comp on it, because Brandon Young is younger and people kind of get excited about that, which is fine. Maybe he figures something out, but just for comparison's sakes of why 15 versus the 12 is where I was going with that. All right, the next one, J.R. Ritchie. J.R. Ritchie was picked up in 100 online championships. In the OCs, there was a total of 6 100 or more league ads. J.R. Ritchie is the final one of those 6. High of 111, low of a dollar, average of 14th, 75th percentile, 16. That's fine. Those prices, that 111's a little crazy, but the rest of them are fine. He was picked up in 58 main events, though. He's back, baby. God, Gecko must be pissed. Average of $30, high of 69, low of $3 for J.R. Ritchie. He was called up last week, 5 innings out of relief and 1 out. He was 195, went 5, no runs, 2 walks, 5 Ks, Ben. And then I just want to highlight, since he got sent down to AAA in late May, he made 3 appearances, 12 innings, 9 earned runs, 7 walks, and 8 Ks. Not screaming improvements. But with the Spencer Strider news, we didn't even know all the news at the time of FAB that we know today, which is the dude might not be back till September. But Ritchie appears to be getting a leash here. Let's put it that way. So what were your thoughts on J.R. Ritchie and Fab?
Yeah, he's confirmed for the Tuesday start versus your Giants,
which is also a great stream as well. So have fun.
Well, they've been better, right?
I'm a pessimist. I'm a Giants fan.
Well, no, I was avoiding them with like Grant Holmes and stuff like that.
They are doing better. Yes.
Yeah. And it's in at least Matt Chapman's been hitting the ball well. Eldridge has been doing really well. So they have some hitters going right now. I kind of missed this in Fab, I'll be honest. So you saying that it wasn't really certain at the time of Fab makes me feel a little bit better. I kind of had already done my mapping of the rotations, and then, but I'm not that upset that I didn't really put any bids on Ritchie because he wasn't that good his first time around, and mainly because of the walks. He had some rough starts there. I think he had one game with 6 walks. It was kind of the manager let him out there in the 6th inning. I remember watching that because I had him in a couple spots when he first got called up. So I have already been invested in Ritchie, and 2 walks in 5 innings isn't terrible. And when he replaced Strider over the weekend, so it's a solid add, and there's a good chance he could figure some more he could figure things out his second time through. Who do they have next week? He is facing.
I got it all right here. If you want it,
2-step.
Yep. At San Diego, at SF, it's another reason why. I was not like aggressive, but I had a lot of bids in on him everywhere. Like his upcoming schedule, if this was just thinking he'd stay, because even it's the Mets the following week, and then at Pittsburgh, which is kind of tricky. But on paper, the next month looks pretty nice for J.R. Ritchie.
Yeah, I could. Then, like I said, he just has to keep the control in check because
That's
on the
true.
year, he has 18 walks and 30 and two-thirds innings. So more than a walk every 2 innings, and that is going to get him in trouble if he doesn't fix that.
Yes, totally agree. You would know about like, you've dealt with the Bubba Chandler who's finally figuring things out.
Time
And
sometimes.
see where it goes from there. All right. Yeah, so I'm hoping Mopin Richie pans out. Next most added player, now you get back to the prospect world, the one, the only Blaze Jordan. Like with a name like that, how do we not get DC happy about this? Blaze Jordan added in 95 online championships, as high as 139, as low as a dollar. Average of 22 with a 75th percentile of 32. I overshot a lot of these, not by a ton though, to be fair, but I did get a little excited about Blaze Jordan. Picked up in 59 main events. The only people picked up in more were the Coffee Man and Braden Montgomery themselves. As high as 163, as low as $5. Average of 38. We're talking low of five for Blaze Jordan. And this is a guy that he's played every game since he got called up. That was a big thing to me. I also lost Vinny P in a lot of spots, or J-Ram. So I need a corner infield help. He's first base for now. He's played third base twice in first base. Hits in all three games. A home run to go with it. And at the minor league level, Blaze had an 8% barrel rate, which I like to see. A 12% strikeout rate at AAA, which was pretty sweet to see as well. Massive improvements in the swing and miss department for Blaze Jordan, 11 homers to go with a 313 batting average at AAA. So, what were your thoughts on Blaze? As this was the guy I added almost everywhere I could.
Yeah, if I needed a corner, I was going to put him in my bid lists. I got him in one spot, Blaze Jordan, so that's good. And really, he's like a power first bat, decent averages along the way in the minors. And I want to say he also was going to get other eligibility. He has third base coming, I believe.
Yeah, so
Potentially. He has two.
he played two games already. Yeah.
Yeah, he was the one. I think he was basically the one for one replacement for Nolan Gorman when he got sent down. So yeah, I think it's a great add of him. I want to see where he was hitting for the Cardinals because that's a big point as well. The Cardinals have had him hitting middle, well, they're not putting pressure on him, so he's hit eighth and sixth depending on he's kind of mixed and matched righties and lefties. He's right-handed, so there's no platoon for Jordan, so that's also good. Yeah, I like the add. Definitely a nice cheaper version of the other guys, even though you made him a little more expensive Blaze in your leagues, but that's all right. You got your guy. So hopefully it pays off, and if he gets first and third, because he's first base eligible right now, and then if you see Jordan, and if he gets third, still only corner, but it's nice flexibility, and I think third is probably the better position to have anyway. So assuming he sticks around and does well, I think Jordan could be a pretty good add, especially on the cheap compared to the other guys we discussed so far.
Yeah, I really need that third base to come up like early next week. That's what I'm hoping. Like, just play him there all week, please. We can play with first base later. Just keep him over there. But he's at my CI pretty much everywhere else, which still works. I can make it happen with some of like Jake Bowers is saving me with flexibility. Like, there's just it's a good year to sidetrack real quick. Do you think flexibility has been more important this year than it has in recent years? It feels like, at least to me.
That's a good question.
I'm just spitballing.
I haven't seeked it out necessarily. It's always helpful in DCs. That's a different animal, but I know you had David Hamilton with your Christian Yelich team, which is ma massively valuable. I didn't really have that with my Yordan team. Now that he has outfield, it's different, but I wasn't seeking out multiple position eligible guys when I had Yordan at util only. I think it may have helped when I had Ivan Herrera, but I worry about if they're eligible at a position that I need, and then if they're good or not. That's kind of how I go. And then the extra eligibility is nice, I guess. So I try not to look at it too much because I'd just rather have someone who I need and then make sure they're good.
Okay. Yeah, no, I feel like I'm moving guys around so much, even if it's just like a simple first base outfield or first base second. It's interesting this year.
I will say real quick though, in the listener league, I do have Alec Burleson and Spencer Steer. So I had moved them out of my outfield. I had Burleson replace Vinny P, and
There you go.
I'd rather have Steer as my everyday second baseman instead of Simeon, and I kind of fill in Simeon now if I need him as a util or something. So in that team, I'm taking advantage of it, but in general, not so much. So I guess team by team, maybe.
Yeah, I think I really realized it when I, like, in that league where I showed you my bench and it just all gutted basically. It allowed me to only have to make a couple moves because I could move enough pieces around and try to hold longer on certain situations, and that was clutch. But yeah, this
And
is probably
that
another bad week.
example, I think I noticed it too, is that you're because I think you had Jake Bowers in the outfield and you needed a first baseman. You can either add an outfielder or a first baseman because Bowers could go from
Yes.
outfield to first, so it allows you to add more players in that scenario. So yeah, it definitely helps. But and I guess I think in cases like that, it's like when you really like to have the multi-eligible players.
And it helped for like the waterfall, like to your point. I could have Blaze, Montgomery, I care, I have them all. It's like whichever one comes my way, like you're playing. So we're good. And that was a plus as well. All right. Next up on the docket here, the Newt. Lars Nootbaar returned a couple weeks ago to the St. Louis Cardinals. And people in the OCs are waking up to the fact he's here. Not sure if they should be, but they're waking up. 87 OCs. Newt was added in as high as 49, as low as a dollar average of 15. So it didn't cost you much. He was already widely rostered in 15 in main events. He's picked up in one more for $27 this week. Lars Nootbaar was dropped in 7 OCs this week as well, though. So that's going to be happening more often than not. I think people might realize with the Newt, like, hey, good story, good player. He's been back since June 5th. He's hitting 219 with 2 home runs. Like, this is a platoon outfielder, Ben. I know they have 5 right-handed pitchers on the docket this week unless something has changed overnight. But, like, I think the excitement of Lars Nootbaar compared to the player Lars Nootbaar actually is, it's probably much more of a real-life versus fantasy thing for me. So what's your thoughts on Lars Nootbaar?
Yeah, I think I want to say I kind of shot him down when we talked about him last week or the week before.
Probably.
Yeah, and he actually, so the lineup is out for the Cardinals and he's starting versus lefty tonight. So that's good.
That's a
Who
good
knows how
start,
well he'll
yeah.
do though. And then in a short sample on Savant, it's all extremely red. All the sliders are very good so far. So even though he has a 219 average, he's hitting the ball well. But his Savant always looks good, is what was what I said last week when we I think we talked about for the main event perhaps. So yeah, I think I said last week or whatever, whenever it was, I didn't even attempt to add Nootbaar in my 15s, and it's just funny that the OCs took a week later like they always do. But
Yep.
only 84 leagues, so not everybody's adding him because I think there's 243. So I it's fine, and he's definitely not a must start or maybe even must roster in OCs. So he could very well be back to the bench if this week does not go well, because it's only right now it's only 4 lefties or 4 righties, I think, per RotoWire. They have, well, actually no, tonight because the opener is Peralta, so that's why he's starting, and then they get Cameron on Thursday. So yeah, a 5-game week for Lars, but he doesn't run, doesn't have a really good average, power's okay, so I think he'll probably be dropped pretty in the future, I'll say.
Yeah, no, like the 7 drops this week doesn't surprise me. I guess it surprises me the fact he'll play a lot this week, but I'm not like looking at who they got dropped for. Maybe it's Braden Montgomery or the Coffin
Right.
Man or something. Could very well be the case. But yeah, we'll see how that pans out for the Newt himself. Next up, picked up in 86 online championships is Shane Drohan of the Milwaukee Brewers. This was one that I really didn't know what to do with this week. He's picked up an 86 OCs, as high as 49, as low as a buck, average of 11. Picked up in 4 main events. He's already widely rostered, average of 46. Drohan was dropped in 7 OCs and dropped into 1 main event as well this week. So people were dodging. And the reason I didn't know what to do with him, Ben, is like the stats are fine. He gave it 4 runs over the weekend. At the minor league level, looked pretty darn effective, 27% K rate. The ball percentage is a bit high. Okay, ground ball guy. But what concerned me with Drohan is he's scheduled to face Cleveland at the middle of the week. That's fine. Does he stick? Because eventually Woodruff comes back this weekend, potentially. Does Drohan stay in the rotation? And Robert Gasser moves out. Like, how does it play out right now? RotoWire has Drohan sticking around and Gasser out. That would make more sense to me. If that's the case, fine. But if that's the case, one more thing, and I'll give you the floor. Is next week he's at Great American Small Park, where there's a great chance I wouldn't pitch him anyways. So I was focusing on something I could utilize maybe this week and next week more so than like he's farther down waterfalls, I should say. What were your thoughts on Drohan, who's already gone in your main events?
Yeah, I think last week when we talked about him there, I said I was kind of intrigued by him. He only 86 adds this week. but and relatively cheap though, only $11 on average in the OCs. That's wild. That's a good price actually. Yeah, his numbers look really good last 3 weeks. 14% swing strike rate, SERA and xFIP both around 3.3. His xERA is 3.57. Drouin has a 20.3 K minus walk in those three starts. And he's been slightly unlucky with the BABIP and left on base. The BABIP's almost 350 in that time, and the left on base is only 64%. So the both should, you'd think, would regress down on the BABIP and then up on the left on base. And then we'd kind of get those results that you mentioned, the 4-run game versus the Phillies. That would, as a little unlucky, especially with 8 hits and 7 Ks and no walks in that game. So 7 to 0 K to walk ratio is awesome. And yeah, so the underlying numbers look really good. So this is probably more of a add the skills, hope it sticks type deal. And then I think the Guardians are, now that J-Rod's gone, or J-Ram, excuse me, wrong J, they're not scary at all. Not even, they weren't even really that scary before, even though they always kind of win somehow. So I think adding Drouin in the OC is fine, and especially for how cheap as he went. I'm a little annoyed I wasn't more aggressive in the 15s adding him, but I do get your concerns, and that's probably why I wasn't more aggressive. I think I said that's why I wasn't more aggressive either last week. So it could be a pretty profitable pick, but there's still risk. And like I said, at that price, I think it's probably worth the risk.
Looking at some of my pitching in 15s, I probably should have done it a couple weeks ago, but it wasn't an option this week, and I was late to the party on that one. The next one up here, Mick Abel. People are starting to spec. Mick Abel was picked up in 84 OCs, as high as 46, low as a buck, average of 11. Same kind of price range as Drouin, honestly, which isn't too bad. He was picked up in 5 main events, average of 27, dropped in 1 OC. Mick Abel threw a rehab game about 4 or 5 days ago, threw 47 pitches, 5 strikeouts, no walks, 2 hits allowed. Looks pretty good over 3 innings. Threw a bullpen over the weekend, supposed to throw another rehab start this week. And if all goes well, could return to the Twins next week, which again is why people are specking on this. Projections have his making his first start next week at home against Colorado, the Road Rockies potentially. This would have been a really interesting one to take a stab on. I'm not the greatest at stashing these kind of guys. I wasn't a big Mick Abel guy early, maybe to my detriment. But what were your thoughts on people stashing McAble? He's been out since the middle of April.
Yeah, I made a note at the during last week to look to add McAble during FAB, and unfortunately he was rostered in my 4 leagues, so I couldn't add him. It's so he's been held for a while, despite it was week 4 when he last pitched, and then projects to get the Rockies next week in Minnesota, so that's an awesome start. And yeah, it's just if you had the roster space to stash him for at least a week. There's no guarantee. I don't think that Abel would be back next week, but it seems like it could be likely. So if you can afford the 1 week wait, I get it. And like I said, I was looking to add him myself if the situation was right. So I can't really argue with this one. And if it does come to fruition, the Rockies in Minnesota would be awesome.
Yeah,
Ideally.
it would be a heck of a comeback. It's like a nice way to get your feet wet again. It would be that situation, and maybe the coffee man won't even be there if your projections come. No, just kidding. All
On the
right,
road, though, you never
I
know.
know. But I'm going to switch over to mains because now we're just starting to get into murky water where we've kind of talked about some guys. It's kind of some reading like Goldie's still hanging out here, Sean Manaea, a lot, Royce Lewis. We know these stories. We talked about most of them many times. That's how the rest of the season is going to go. So I want to get to the main event side of things, Ben, where Braden Montgomery, Cole Kerrig, Blaze Jordan, J.R. Ritchie, Elvis Alvarado, top 5 ads, added in 57 or more leagues, so pretty much added everywhere in main events. We already talked about them on the OC side of things. Now it gets interesting. Ian Seymour. This one I did not see coming because I guess I'm just not as excited. I had a couple people reach out to me and ask me questions on him, so maybe I should be more excited. I don't know, but Seymour's picked up in 56 main events, almost every main event. As high of 42, as low as a dollar, average of $21 for Ian Seymour. He was picked up in 35 OCs, as high as 41, average of 12, low of a dollar. Seymour is getting stretched out, that is for sure. Like, people are kind of hoping for this to start the season. He threw 3 1/3, 2 runs. His last outing, got the start prior to that, 4 innings. I guess we're starting to get there, is the thing, Ben. What are your thoughts on Ian Seymour? Because he seems like a name that for years people have wanted to be really good. It hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, I think he was referred to as an IKB and I Know Better on Waxman's pod, because I think I saw him when I was going through Fab, his name came up when I was looking through things and saw his game log, and he only has one start and went four innings versus the Red Sox. It was a good start, but that's his biggest or his longest appearance by innings this year. It's four innings. And then versus the Angels, who should be an easy matchup, he only went three and a third. Seymour only had three Ks, three walks, two runs allowed, kind of stumbled there. And I just don't trust the volume from him. And people are, I think, are just chasing the 2025 stat line, which is only 57 innings of a 3.63 ERA and a 1.18 whip. Both, granted, they were great. He was great when he got called up last year. So I was looking to draft in DCs potentially, Seymour. But so far this year, he's not as crisp as he was last year. Has same number of walks as 2025 already in almost 20 fewer innings. So walks are an issue for him now. The Rays are quick to take guys out of games. If he's a follower, it's better for Seymour. But until he would throw more innings, I feel like he's just a glorified middle reliever. And he gets the Nationals on Saturday, it looks like, which they're not the best matchup. So I didn't put any bids in for him.
Yeah, I don't blame you at all. He can't even go five innings right now. Maybe I know they're trying to stretch him out. I get it. I have too many injuries to wait for that to happen. Right now, it's just not something I could do. And honestly, I don't know if he's good enough to be worth. Like, I don't know. Maybe Brandon Young's better. Let's just go there. But at least we know what we get from Brandon Young at this point.
I'd rather have Brandon Young.
Yeah. So, and if people listened earlier on the show, now you'll know why I'm saying that, because it's a full circle moment, and this is what we do. Samad Taylor. This one, like, I saw, like, Saturday I was kind of doing some stuff. I'm like, what the heck? I thought people were just joking because, like, oh, he got called back up. No, he's actually playing and playing well right now. And I think we're all waiting for that other shoe to drop with Samad Taylor. But picked up in 54 leagues. I bet you some people might even know what team he's on right now. That's the best part about this. Padres, by the way. Samad Taylor. 54 leagues added for an average of $15 in the main events. 39 max. Dollar min. Samad Taylor was added in 64 OCs. As high as 133, which is just pure insanity. But average of 12, 75th percentile of 15, that's fine. Don't mind that. He's been up for eight games with the Padres. Has a seven-game hitting streak at this point in time. Hitting 357 with a home run and two steals, Ben. Again, a guy that people used to love for the speed and prospect pedigree. Right now he's playing left field every day. So I was like all about trying to get a cheap piece like on my waterfalls, knowing I'm going to drop him probably in one or two weeks, but I was going to write it while we can. What were your thoughts on Samad Taylor?
Yep. If I needed an outfielder, I had him in my bid list very cheaply, though. I was not going to spend a lot to get Taylor. Yeah, two steals already in eight games. You love that. And then, at least when I looked at him earlier in the week, probably like start of the weekend, the Ks were having me a little skeptical that it's going to turn into anything, because year to date in 32 plate appearances, he has a 28% K rate, Samad Taylor, which small sample, but he's very inexperienced at the major league level. The BABIP's 500 right now. So a little bit of a hot streak. And I think I said maybe to you guys or someone else that I could easily see this fizzling out after he gets like a couple offers and stuff like that. But it seems like he's safe for now with the way the Padres have dealt with injuries. He's actually sitting tonight, ironically. Sungmon Song is playing second, and that has pushed some guys around, and Gavin Cheats is playing left field instead of Taylor tonight. But he had been playing every day since he got called up. Once he started playing, that is Taylor. So in 15s, I liked it, and I didn't get him anywhere. But he was like a $3 to $4 bid, just in case I got him. I just don't have a lot of faith that it'll stick. But someone like him could be a great ad if he stays relatively hot, steals bases. It's a true flyer.
Yep, no, it's a true flyer. And yeah, if he puts together like a 4-week run, you're like, I'll take every bit of that. Like your Ildemar Vargas 2.0. But yeah, I'm not holding my breath on that one at all either.
It's once in a lifetime there. Tomorrow. Yep.
It was beautiful because it made my other co-host just cringe every time it happened. Speaking of watching my other co-host cringe, this is his guy, Javier Assad.
Look at that transition.
Picked up in 52 main events. My God, like lips, my hand to God's ears, whatever the phrase is. I didn't have him in a single waterfall. I wanted nothing to do with Javier Assad. And again, maybe my fault in this one, but average of $18, high of 50, low of a buck in main events. Picked up in 51 OCs. Now, like, okay, the main events I get. The OCs, people. There's other ways to light money on fire. Average of $8, high of 25, low of a dollar. Like, go get Brandon Young if you really want to. Javier Assad, he's made two appearances since getting recalled. 12 and a third innings, no runs, two walks, and 10 Ks. That's outstanding, both against the Giants. I don't know. Like, he's pitched well. Not going to, like, say he hasn't, but we've all seen how this ends. And usually not very good, Ben. I know he gets the Road Rockies this week, which is very appetizing. And then he looks like he might be out of the rotation altogether. So maybe it's a 1 week pump and dump. Who knows? But what are your thoughts on Assad? Because I literally didn't even want him in my waterfalls in case I got him.
Yeah, I never want him near any of my main events, so I did not put bids in, even in listener league either. But I pulled up his, like, this is his year by year. He's never had an ERA above four. Isn't that insane for a
Yeah,
season?
that's why Ryan hates him so much, because everything says this should not happen, and it
Yeah.
keeps happening.
Yeah, he has a 5.63 K per nine so far this year. That's a 16% K rate, and his K minus walk is 10%. So at least this year, he's lowering the walks compared to previous seasons. Small sample, though. Yeah, the only thing I can see is that it is the Rockies in the road, but I wanted nothing to do with that. I don't think it's worth the fab because he, look at his game log. He actually had gone six innings in the, and it was versus the Giants though too, which is kind of wild. That five Ks, one walk in both starts versus the Giants. He actually started or start the year, I think. I don't know who's injured for the Cubs, but yeah, in those games he only had three Ks in all three starts. Two of them he had two walks, so that's an awful ratio. Yeah, I probably said too much already on the side. I just wanted nothing to do with them, so it's I'm Team Ryan on this one, and so are you. But it's
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
he can't keep getting away with it.
No, it's like we were joking earlier, like him and Nick Martinez are in the same bucket. Eventually it's going to be just implosion glory. All right, a couple more here. Nathan Church has added in 38 main events. This is the guy that I could see getting streamed in OCs at some time. Like, is he elite? No. Is he better than Nootbaar? Possibly. Nathan Church, high of 22, low of a dollar, average of 11 in your main events. Like, this is also a good exercise. Just if you're in a 15, you guys can stream these guys probably next week if you need to. He was added in 16 OCs, as high as 35, which is a bit much, but average of five, low of a dollar. He was dropped in one OC as well. Nathan Church returned from the IL on June 9th. He has hit safely in four out of six games for a 333 average. Not a whole lot else in the counting department at this point in time, but this is also a guy that on the season, five homers, four steals, hitting 257. Like, it's a streaming potential. Like, you look at the matchups and he could play for you.
Yeah, I believe I had Church ahead of Samad Taylor in my bid list when I needed outfielders, just because we have a much bigger sample of Church doing well this year in the majors, and he has more power, it looks like, than Taylor. I don't know. I think Taylor might have more speed, but I think they want to give Church a lot of run, and it was just because he got hurt is why he missed times. I mean, well, why he wasn't playing. So it's not like I think the Cardinals like him, and let's look at the roster for them, because now that they have Mars back. Well, they got rid of Victor Scott, so that I think that cleared the way for Church. He's playing center now, yeah. So playing time seems safe for Church. I like it. Power speed option, and he went for pretty cheap. So I was like in the more closer to the 25th percentile of 20 of $5 in the mains. And I didn't get him. Not that I was looking for alphas on every team, but I like the add of Church.
Yeah, no, I didn't mind Church at all. There's a good bucket of streamable guys. Like, we'll talk about a couple more here in a second. And I will start with this one. And I don't know, but people are very excited about Lawrence Butler, the Law Dog. He was picked up in 36 main events, as high as 59, as low as a buck, average of 15. Like, the price tag's fine. He was added in 50 OCs, average of 10, high of 28. Dropped in two mains, dropped in five OCs. Started and led off on Sundays. Faced the last two times the A's have faced right-handed pitching. He got to start. The A's faced six righties this week in Sacramento. Now, before this past week, he has not started against every righty. usually they don't have that many lefties they face either. So I guess we'll have to kind of see how this plays out, Ben. But over the last, seven games that he's appeared in, he's only started in four of these seven. Some of them are pinch hitting. He's got hits in four of the games. He's hitting 400 with a home run in 21 plate appearances. Are you back in on the Law Dog? Because I still can't bring myself to it for two reasons, our guy. And second, I still don't think he's that good.
I'm not back in, but I did, in my one-man event where he was available, I did have Butler in a bid list because of the schedule. Home the entire week. I think it was, you said it was six righties.
Six righties in seven games, yeah.
Yeah, so that's as good as it's going to get for him this year, I think, Lawrence Butler. Yeah, and to your point, I hope he does horribly, though, because I don't want to lose playing time for Carlos Cortez still or Henry Bolte. But this is mainly – he's playing, though, now Butler because of the Brent Rooker injury. It allows – who's DHing? They're kind of mixing and matching the DH, actually. So it's not like Butler went right back into the lineup. Well, because they had so many lefties in that period.
The other reason this can work for both our guys for now is Rooker's on the IL with a knee injury. So it opens the door for – that's why they like Langoliers DH one day. We were in Vegas. They let Kurtz DH. We were asking, like, why so-and-so playing first? But McNeil played first base that one day. Yeah. They have an opening to kind of move things around, I guess.
But at the same time, though, like, since everyone else is DHing, it makes me think they don't want to have all four outfielders in the lineup at the same time.
That's fair.
Which would actually, I hope, hurt Butler because I don't have any.
DH Soderstrom.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Yeah, have him and Kurtz flip-flop between DH and first. I like that for the schedule and the stream. But there's a chance that he may not start every game versus a righty this week because, like we said, Heim DH'd, Kurtz DH'd. And if those guys do that, then there's not enough space for all the outfielders. So it's worth a shot, but I'm not mad that I didn't get Butler.
Okay, one of the last ones we'll talk about here is Herberto Hernandez, picked up in 36 main events, high of 31, average of 12, picked up in 23 OCs, high of 25, average of 4, dropped in one main, dropped in one OC as well. Hernandez is slowly getting going, more importantly, playing every single day versus lefties and righties, which is great to see. And let's just pick an arbitrary June 1st date to make it easier here. Since June 1st, hitting .333 with four home runs. Still strikes out a lot, but that's hitting safely in all but one game since June 1st for Herberto Hernandez. So I really like what we're seeing. This is a guy we liked in the past, a lot of power upside. And if he's going to play every day right now, I'd stream him while he's hot. So I thought he was out of all these kind of mid-tier outfielders, he was one of my top priorities, but just never got to that because somehow I got blazed on every team because no one else wanted him. So what are your thoughts on Herberto Hernandez?
I had him in that big glob of outfielders that I keep saying I had all these guys in there. It's weird because Herberto Hernandez had a 4-week stretch where he was kind of playing low to mid teens each week. And then now he's back to 19, 17 at bats, weeks 11 and 12. And looking at the lineup tracker, he was from basically the end of May, he didn't play at all. And that was when Connor Norby was playing a lot more. Stowers was in the outfield, but now Stowers is playing first a lot. And that's allowed Hernandez to play the outfield, which he's played the last four games. He started the last four games in a row, but then there were two righties that he sat for. And then he sat for a righty back on June 5th. So the playing time is kind of iffy still, but he has done really well in those last 2 weeks. Hernandez put up four homers, hitting over 300. So I had him for very cheap as well. And I trust the playing time more than I do with Butler, although Butler has the better week right now. And Butler has the bigger name too, of course. He was actually drafted in leagues, and of course they're back to back in terms of ads and then also dollars spent. So it's a nice big glump of a glump of outfielders on Ryan's tracker. So it's going to be we won't do it, but it'd be cool to see who does the best this week because I feel like they're all evenly risky and anything could happen, except for Mangum. I think Mangum, looking at the trackers, has the most upside, of course. But Taylor, Butler, Hernandez, Church, all these guys, could this be nothing? Or they could actually have a good week. We'll have to wait and see. And I think some of them have staying power. Butler, I feel the least confident on, but Hernandez, if they keep the lineup the way it is now, and I guess kind of continue to bench Norby because he's been sporadically in the lineup, that's the key to Hernandez's playing time. So just watch for that.
Yeah, you mentioned those guys. All the guys like Spencer Jones was a big add this week. Ryan Ward was popular. Callahan for Pittsburgh was popular as well. One more I want to discuss before we talk about some potential drops coming up here for two reasons. He was in my waterfalls and yours as well. He was in Santu's waterfalls. Didn't get him. He posted about that on Twitter. Mr. Phil Dussault picked him up in a lot of places. So that means Lane Thomas will be added everywhere next week unless he gets on the IL. He was picked up in 31 main events this past weekend, as high as 14, average of 7. He was picked up in 3 OCs, $3 pretty much across the board there. Dropped in one main event, that is Mud Lane Thomas. He's starting to play every day with the injuries that have taken place in Kansas City, and that's not changing anytime soon because everyone seems to be getting hurt there. Since June 1st, hitting .273 with 2 home runs. Thoughts on Lane Thomas?
Yeah, I've kind of written him off, but it makes sense now because it allows Jack Caglione to go to first and Lane can play the outfield, even though today Cags is playing right field and then Perez is playing first. But yeah, one less bat in the way of Lane Thomas. He's been so bad lately in terms of years. At least when I had looked earlier on the weekend, the consistent playing time hadn't been there yet. So I didn't really put a bid in for him, I don't believe. He has the history, of course, of that upside, but he kind of falls into a short side platoon a lot. And I don't have the splits for Thomas up right now, but I doubt they've changed. So he has this power speed upside if you want to take a risk with the playing time. So I can't really argue against it. It's just I have very low confidence that he's good anymore. So I could be wrong, though.
Yeah, I wasn't overly – I guess he was down on the waterfall in that cluster. But getting to play a lot, and then some of these leagues, that's all I care about right about now. We'll see where the dust settles on that one. Anybody else you wanted to discuss before we talk about some potential drops? Because now we're getting to the world where they're at half leagues or averaging these guys for the most part.
Yeah. Do you think Max Muncy of the A's is going to play versus left or righties, I should say?
Why, Ben? Do you have any interest in this question by chance? Or? No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I was looking to add Muncy. I didn't know how much to bid on him, though. That was the
truth. I think he'll play. He played on Sunday. Yeah. He got the start there. I feel like that the he's played 3 straight games. He had a day off. Like, I think it was just a day off as Vegas. It's hot. He's coming off the IL. For the most part, he's going to play. There's going to be a lot of random days off because Gilloff's moving all over the place. Muncy's moving all over the place. They're still getting Alika Williams on the field for some freaking reason since Wilson came back. Like, if they just told Alika Wilson, like, you're just here whenever, it'd be simple. We'd never have to worry about this. But, and not to mention, Jeff McNeil's corpse is still lying around. It really should just be Gilloff, Wilson, and Muncy across the infield. It shouldn't be complicated, but they'll make it that way. So I think he plays enough to answer your question.
Okay, I hope so. It's just not that roster resources is the end-all be-all, but it's just funny seeing how they had 4 lefties last week, and then you get all these guys back, and the whole – like who they have in the lineup as regulars versus who's on the bench. Like almost all the bench guys right now have full starts over the last 6 days for the Athletics. It's just funny to see how unsure everything is right now, except for our boy Volte, it seems like, and then Kurt, Soderstrom, Langeliers, Gelof, so – imagine being in the same, having Bolte in the same sentence as Kurtz and Soderstrom, and Langelier's got to love it.
You got to love it. It's a beautiful thing we got going on there. Hopefully it stays the way you log. You can just mind your own business. That'd be great. All right, we'll talk about a couple drops here, potential drops, I should say. We got to discuss these first. But last week we started an exercise. Ben put this awesome sheet together that we're referencing here about actually, why don't I let you explain it? Because I can explain it, but you'll probably say it much more eloquently than I will.
All right, I took the OC roster rate from the NFBC website, so 12-team OC is what we look at for the FAB review, and then I married that to the Razzball year-to-date player rater, and we filtered on players who were owned in 75% of OCs or more, so we want to have guys who are heavily rostered in 12-teamers, and then we sorted it by lowest earned auction value year-to-date, and Of course, last week we had to skip over a bunch of names because there's reasons. It's whether it's injuries, rookies, I don't know, suspension in the case of Noelvi Marte or whoever got suspended, whatever happened. And all these different scenarios could play into why they're low earners, but we're trying to pick out the ones that have played most of the year yet are still low on the player rater and are still heavily rostered and want to see if they're worth holding on to, especially in 12 teamers.
Yep, in 12 teamers, and you can make your decisions from there. So we kind of left off as we get kind of towards guys that are making less than five or a negative $5 value, give or take. And the sheet has been updated, but we're trying to skip over IL people, prospects. That's a lot of this section, but there's one that hasn't been either, and that's Andrew Abbott of the Cincinnati Reds. Ben, he's rostered in 98% of OCs. He's averaging a minus $4.30 on this. Not average, he is worth a minus $4.30. He's 98%, or no, he's 100% in your main events as well, Mr. Andrew Abbott. Coming off a decent two-step, no wins, not a lot of strikeouts, but didn't blow you up, which we can live with around here because we're waiting for the blow-up, Ben, for many reasons. He has a 3.95 ERA on the season, a 5.07 Sierra, with a whopping 6.4% K to walk. Does any of that interest you?
No, I think I forget when we discussed Abbott not that long ago, and he well, it was the two-step, which you made sure to tell me that you survived, so that was good, Bubba.
Was a shaky, it was shaky.
But I said though that after that two-step, you should probably throw him back into the player pool in OCs.
Which I did.
But I think Abbott did just well enough where everyone held on to him except for maybe like one, like four teams, if that. And then look, even with like the just got through skated by last 3 weeks, or I guess a 2-star week over the last 3 weeks, Abbott has a 10% K minus walk. His swing strike rate's about the same, so that's not good. His ERA and xFIP and xERA are all above 4.6. Lucky BABIP, high left on base, so that's lucky as well. He's just not. It's at least the well this he I never had been in on Abbott before. I had him in a 15 earlier in the year, cut him long ago, and everyone's been waiting for him to not be good, and he's not good now, and people are still rostering him, like forgetting. They're probably seeing the good surface stats from years past on Abbott, and then they're still rostering him. I don't know, but pitching is tough to come by right now. I'd rather look for someone with better skill, especially in a 12. So I think Abbott should be rostered in much fewer leagues than 98% right now.
Full agree on that one. Robbie Ray is rostered in 96% of OCs, 100% of main events, minus $4.20 of value. Robbie Ray didn't walk a guy in his last start against the Nats, still allowed 5 runs in 5 2/3 with 3 Ks. Prior to that, 5.27, 2.24, those are the walks per start. Strikeouts have been there, so have the home runs. It's been disastrous. 4.42 ERA for Robert Ray with a 4.82 Sierra. And a 9.6% K to walk. I hope he gets traded. What are your thoughts on Robbie Ray for fantasy, I guess?
Kind of the same story as Abbott. Last 3 weeks, similar underlying numbers, 10 point or 9.4 K minus walk, so even worse than Abbott. Swing trait rate's about the same, 10.8%. His Sierra and xFIP are almost five. Ray's the one good thing with Ray is that he's not allowing a lot of hard contact, but despite that, his xERA in that time is still 4.20. Year to date, the estimators are all around five. Just too many walks without the strikeouts to kind of overcome that walk issue that he tend to always has. And then the swing strike rate on the year is also 10.9%. So Ray is definitely expendable in the 12, and it could, like I said, with Abbott, it could be a product of all the injuries that are going on right now. But Ray probably shouldn't be rostered in this many leagues because he's not that good of a pitcher this year, and he's older too. So unlike Abbott, who Abbott is young enough, he could still turn things around. But I think Ray is definitely on the downside of his career, and 100% in the main event makes sense considering how deep those leagues are. But in OCs, I think Ray should definitely, and even in a main, I'd probably be looking to move on from Ray if I could get a good enough replacement. But he shouldn't be this heavily rostered, I don't think.
Fully agree with you there. Another pitcher, we'll get to a couple hitters here in a second, but Shane Baz, he's rostered 100% in mains and OCs, minus $3.50, so it's not horrible. Shane Baz, you see a 4.06 ERA, you see a 4.62 Sierra, and you see a 9.9% K to walk, and that is not great. But one thing I will say, 6 straight starts at 3 earned runs or less, five straight of two earned runs or less. Still has a little bit of a walk issue, Ben. What's your thoughts on Boz? Because I've held him in my 15s. I don't have him in 12s.
Have you been playing him in your 15s?
Yes, I have, over the last like 3 weeks at least.
Nice, because he's definitely turned it around in the last 3 weeks. The walks are still there. That's kind of the issue with Boz. Yep. And so if you look at his game by game and week by week, he looks better than his underlying numbers do in the last 3 weeks.
That's what I'm saying. I see a stat line every week. I'm like, he's better than this. What is going on?
Yeah, 11.4% K-minus walk last 3 weeks for Boz. Sierra exit XERA all above four. Swing strike rate's actually worse than the worst of Abbott's and Ray's. Boz is almost 10. Is only 10.1%. But he's pitching better of late. It's just that the whip's kind of high still in the last few games, and I think that's more of a hit issue. But the walks, like if you go seven innings with two walks, that's fine. And that he did that two games in a row versus the Red Sox and the Rays, which actually pitched a lot of his games versus the AL East lately, which makes sense. So I would much rather have Boz than the other two that we've discussed already. But then he's had one strikeout versus the Padres, who aren't very good, Boz. So he's teetering on it in OCs and mains. I think you got to hold on to Boz, but he's definitely better skills wise than the other two. So I think he's more deserving of the other guys that we've discussed already.
Agreed. Boz is still in my fantasy life, and hopefully he can give a strong finish to the season. Let's get a bat in play here. Alec Bohm of the Philadelphia Phillies, 93% rostered in OCs, which is mind-boggling to me. 100% in main, still crazy. -330 in value. He's hitting .219 on the year with 8 home runs and 1 stolen base, 34 RBIs. That used to be his calling card. It was like, oh, at least he drives in 100 runs. Well, we're kind of not on pace for that at this point in time, folks. And it's not just a slow go. He hit 151 the first month of the year, then 277, then 255 in June. So it's been a little better since the slow start. May wasn't a horrible month, but he still doesn't do a whole lot, Ben. Like, at least not in 12s for me. What are your thoughts on Alec Bohm?
It's probably more so how bad third base is than anything. That's fair. I feel like I always say that. He has 8 homers on the year now, which is pretty good. It's in line with Bo Bichette, Austin Riley, Josh Young, Matt Chapman. Gets kind of murky after that, but those are some other bigger names that are heavily rostered. I know he was awful, Bohm, to start the year. I had him in a DC and I was sitting him, but he's got 5 homers now last 4 weeks. I think the high percentage is maybe a little too much. I don't know though, but you're rostering 12, that's, you're starting 36 corners in a league per week. I'd have to really look at it more closely, but I think he's relatively deserving, Bohm, of being rostered in most spots. It's just he's like the low end option of the third baseman, and he's definitely been better of late. It's just he was hitting so poorly to start the year, no power, no average, and average is his calling card. So if we'd had like a last month auction value, I think he'd be much more deserving of being rostered than the way the year long numbers look.
Yeah, no, I guess I've done the Bohm dance before, and it's not bad if you're streaming, but just to rely on him every single week, especially in a 12, it's very difficult. In a 15, you're gonna have a guy like that in your roster, so at least if he hits for average, that'll work. Like the .219 season average is bad, but that was mainly the first month. He's just been .250 or better since, so maybe you're getting the good side of this one. They still hit him cleanup, which is nuts to me, or fifth most days, so that's always positive. All right, now we're starting to have some fun with these next few names I've been looking at here. We'll see how far we get before I start talking about our ad drops, but I want to bring up Carlos Cortez, Ben. Carlos Cortez, he is rostered 84% of OCs, 93% of mains, -$3 in value. I had him on the chopping block this week. On the season, Carlos Cortez is hitting .303. That is great. But 6 home runs, 1 steal, 17 runs scored and 21 RBIs. It was one of those things that I know I'm guilty of often. I know, obviously, if you look at 84% of OCs and others are guilty of as well, we just assume great ballpark, hitting for average, things are great. But this overall production is actually hurting you, I think. He scored 8 runs in April, 6 runs in May, 3 runs so far in June. When it comes to the RBI department, it was 13 in April. So, like, the start of the year was awesome. We hit 391. There's 4-4. He's hitting 179 in June, Ben. Carlos Cortez, that could be our answer to our who plays the outfield question in the grand scheme of things. But, yeah, I on 12s, he was off the table for me if I needed a drop.
Yes, I think so he seems more like Dominic Canzone now. And I said previously that Canzone should not be fully rostered in OCs or 12 teamers. I have helped. So were you looking to drop Cortez in your 12 teamers? Is that where it was? Or was it your 15s?
Yeah, it was where I was dropping him was 12s. 15s, I'm still hanging on to. But like, yeah. I'm debating benching him this week, and he has a full week in Sacramento, which is crazy, with 6 righties. So that's why I'm not benching him. But it was like, it was up for debate.
Yeah. So this is what happened. This is looking at his weekly stats. It makes sense. So his BABIP in April, Cortez was 397, outlier. May 288, that's good. In June it's been 154. Because if you look at his week by week, Cortez isn't striking out. He's had 2 Ks or fewer the last 4 weeks, with mid-teens, we'll say, at bats. So he's not striking out. He's not hitting the ball. He's not getting lucky. And his sliders are still pretty red for the year. His XBA is still 299. He's 99th percentile in K rate. So it's all his success is BABIP driven right now, Cortez. His XWOBA has taken a dip, but it's still above league average and is rolling 100 plate appearances. So if he doesn't wake up this week, like, I'm extremely excited for Cortez and my 15 teamers and in the matchups. I think they're all in Sacramento, and like we said with Butler, 6 righties. So he's going to play a lot, but he's a very strict platoon guy. So he's very expendable in OCs. So if he has a bad week and we do this again next week, he should be much lower rostered, I think, in the OCs. But I have faith that his luck will turn, Cortez. It's been a rough ride, and at least, because he's platooning, you're not getting all of that negativity in your lineup, but we would like to see some hits to start falling for him.
Agreed. Couple more here. Spencer Torkelson, still 92% rostered in OCs, 100% in mains, minus $2.40. Torque's hitting 209 with 11 home runs, 25 runs, and 28 RBIs. Like, 11 home runs, I guess, is the only highlight I can try to make out of that entire sentence there. I don't know how you physically roster this guy. I know first base can be tricky, but my goodness.
Yeah, I don't have Torque this year, so I've avoided a lot of the headaches. His K rate is just driving that massive drop in average. His XBA is 207, so you could say his average is actually lucky at 209. The power is all there for Torque, and this really comes down to if you can withstand the average, but and then if you need the power. But 11 homers, like you said, is nothing crazy. And if we're talking OCs, it's definitely expendable. So I think that – where is he at right now? He's at 92%. Yeah. I think first is better than third, which is what we were saying with Bohm and others. So, yeah, I think Torque could easily be dropped right now the way he's playing. And some of the stat cast still looks really good, but the Ks are just hampering his production. So unless he can fix that, no matter how much red's in this barrel rate and hard hit and all the other things on Savant, it's not going to really matter too much. So I think with a good replacement, you could drop Torque.
Yep, fully on board with that. Last one we'll talk about this week, and I want to keep doing this exercise. We're starting to get to some names that might be really up for debate here, but we'll start with the one that I know you're keeping in 15s, but you don't know if you're starting, because I am having the dilemma, you're having the dilemma, and that is on Grant Holmes of the Atlanta Braves for multiple reasons. He's not going deep in the games, 3 2/3. He went 6, 4 2/3. It's a little shaky because he's not giving up a ton of runs, 405 ERA you can live with, but it's the 59 Ks to 29 walks. Like, we're talking a 10.5% K to walk. It sounds like the Braves want to move him to the bullpen. There's a lot of questions to be had here. When we're looking at Grant Holmes, he's still, like I said, it's 86% in OCs, 100% in mains, minus $1.70. Season started out great, slowly kind of deteriorating as things go along. Grant Holmes, at least in 12s, is starting to feel like a more common drop as things get going here.
I kind of want them to move him to the bullpen so I can drop him. That's kind of how things are going. Just there's so many starts with Holmes where he's looking great, and then he just loses it in like the fourth or fifth inning, walks too many guys, and then he's out without even with a lead. Like he loses the win opportunity, doesn't get the volume you want, and then it's a wasted start. And so I was looking to drop him this past weekend where I have him in that one man event, Holmes. But I couldn't justify whoever was available at this time to replace Holmes. It was like my one guy I had on my list was Jack Perkins, and he has two starts in Sacramento this week. I'm like, hey, well, he's been bad, and then he's an awful. I like Jack Perkins' upside more than Holmes, but he's been probably worse than Holmes, which is saying a lot. So I held for now, but that's a 15. So you could easily drop Holmes, and I don't think he should be this heavily rostered, despite. He should be below the 75% threshold, I think, because you need more strikeouts in the OCs per roster spot, I think. And it's you're not, definitely not getting that from home. Well, also with Holmes, though, like he'll rip off a 10K game and you're like, oh, wow, he's back. And then it's like three walks, 2Ks the next game. It's just very inconsistent and so frustrating. So, yeah, and OCs could easily cut. So, yeah, I'm not opposed to that.
Yeah, and that's what makes it a little tricky there, because he could rip off the good ones, like you said. But in OCs, it feels like the writing's on the wall. Like he's a streamer at best, and he might not be around much longer as well. But yeah, we'll pick up next week on this list, because I'm not kidding. Got like Emmett Sheehan. It's funny, we left off last week. Bybee was next. He's improved because of his last two starts. He's technically next. We'll see if he keeps avoiding us on this sheet. If he can keep, you guys are welcome. If you're a Tanner Bybee. Manager, but like Noah Cameron's like pitching well, but you know, Ryan Weathers, Bregman, Gore. There's a lot of names that as we get deeper into the season where it is kind of put up or shut up time, this is where this is going to come in handy, I think. So we'll kind of keep going with this for now until we get towards schedule season, Ben, which we know we get to discuss on the show as well. But let's talk about our ad drops, Ben. If you're ready to rock and roll, I am ready for you.
Let me get to the right page. All right, so starting off Listener League, as always, a lot of cheap ads. I got Blaze Jordan, dropped Randy Vasquez 8-3. So that was
eight
nice.
$8 must be nice. $8.
Yep. God, got rid of Vasquez. Well, unfortunately, this league has J-Ram and Vinny P, which has been weird. Like, I know you had that. I heard Curlin had that in his main event, which is horrible.
Yeah, how did we all get the same combinations?
I feel like, yeah, it's really wild that three people that I know of, well, two and plus myself, have that combo. So that's horrible luck. Mm-hmm. So Blaze was replacing Vinny P there. I held on to Vinny P for now, but just that one move. So I stay below 10. That's where I stay below $10, Bubba. I did it in one
well
league.
Well done.
Yep. And then New Jersey, Maine. So I missed. I was a runner up on Elvis Alvarado 28-24. I had 24 for Hogan Harris, so I got him instead. Dropped Clayton Beater 24-5. I definitely overspend because I also have Emilio Pagan, but I just wanted to make sure I got one of the Athletics guys to have, because Beater, I got those two saves that one week, but then he's just not getting any opportunities. So I just wanted to upgrade. Then I got Yohendrick Panango. I dropped Braxton Garrett finally here, 8-3. So over my $10 allowance, but okay, ads. And then I'll go to main three next. This is the one that needs steals. I got Jake Mangum style, dropped Jake Myers. So switch the Jakes, 24-13. I was happy with that one. And then similar scenario, I don't think Hogan Harris was available in this one. And I got beat out on Alvarado 25-24, unfortunately. Oof. So I got stuck with Tony Santian, which I guess is okay because I have Pagan here as well, dropping Beater 8-0. So I should have the Reds closer. Very loose quotes on closer for Santian going forward. So I got him 8-0. So that was it. Just two ads there. And then finally the hybrid main two. I got Hogan Harris again, but I spent a lot less. I dropped Urseg, and that was 14-2 with Harris. And my other ad, you're going to love this, dropped Richie. So I added Richie Palacio back. I dropped him, I think, for the same guy.
I dropped him this week in a 15.
Yeah, so I added Palacio back. Dropped Volpe 3-0. So I got rid of Volpe.
Oh, well, I guess the worst of two evils, or better of two evils, whatever you want to say. So yeah. That works.
And that's it.
All right, for me, it was an interesting week, is what I'll say. But you guys will sense a trend here in a minute. Joked about earlier. So in my 12-team Vegas, where this is why I even tweeted out the bench. It's just murderer's row, literally, because it's red everywhere. So I got Blake, and I had like 370 bucks. I'm like, I'm spending money this week. We're just doing it. Got Blaze Jordan, dropped Jared Young, 49 to a runner-up of two. Picked up Braden Montgomery, dropped Chase DeLauder, 48 to 45, so that felt nice. Then I picked up Andrew Alvarez, dropped Tyler Glass now because I needed an arm, 7-2. And I picked up J.R. Richie, dropped Andrew Abbott, 7-2. I'd rather take my chance with Richie and that schedule than Andrew Abbott. They might be the same pitcher when things are all said and done. Vegas AC got Blaze Jordan, dropped David Sandlin, 55-32. Picked up Tyler Callahan for his week of just glorious matchups. Dropped Patrick Corbin, 18-8. Needed two bats in that one because I had Vinny P and J Ram in that league. In my OLAC, picked up Blaze Jordan, dropped Spencer Miles, 37-17. So not as bad of an overspend in that one. Listener auction, picked up Blaze Jordan, dropped Dom Smith, 36-27. So not too bad there. Got J.R. Richie, dropped Eric Lauer, 32-0, Ben. Nobody bid on J.R. Richie. That was awesome. And then I picked up Joe Mack, dropped Edgar Caro 12-2 because I dropped Joe Mack 2 weeks ago. I picked up Edgar Caro. Bad idea, Bubba. Bad idea. And then my Beat Bubba OC picked up Kenley Jansen. What would you have spent for Kenley Jansen in an OC, Ben?
I guess it depends if he's my RP 2 or 3, but I would have spent at least in the 60s to 80s, I'm sure.
Okay, so I put 54 out there, and I won him with a runner-up of 31. I was shocked. I didn't think I'd have a chance to get him. I'm like, I'm just going to put this out there. I'll take a third closer if I have to. Like, in an OC, you actually need three closers usually. So I'll take my shots. He's healthy, and he's the guy. 54-31, dropped Kaiwei Tang. Picked up Blaze Jordan, dropped David Hamilton, 27-0 in that one. Oh, God. Yeah, Bubba Chandler got the runner-up bid. Jake Mangum. Picked up Jake Mangum. I dropped Giancarlo Stanton. 9-0. It is that time of the year, folks. So literally there was only a handful of bids with runner-ups. It's OC season at its finest, but we'll wrap up the ad drops there. Let's just say I got Blaze Jordan in a ton of places this week. All right, we have a listener question from the Discord real quick. Martin answered the one question, which is great. The other one, Timothy wants to know, Bubba, this one may be unanswerable, but are there significantly more stolen bases versus righties than lefties? I'm hoping to incorporate this into my start sit decisions each batting period. Well, Ben did the research. Ben, what do you got here?
It is basically negligible. It's about a plate appearance difference per steal versus righties and lefties based on what I saw in Fangraphs. So Timothy, and Bubba was saying this too after I told him this at the start of the show before we recorded, I was looking it up. Probably just better to target the teams than handedness. Catchers, I think, than handedness.
Yep, that seems to be the smarter way to go about it if possible. So handedness, teams, like all that kind of matchup goodies that we like to talk about. All right, Ben, any final thoughts as we wrap up another fab episode? It was still a good week, just but you could tell things are slowing down.
Yeah, like we said, basically back on pace with 2025 in both contests. So we'll see how they finish compared to last year, but we at least saw the number of ads tick down per league this year.
That is true. The number was a big drop off.
Yeah, I wonder if we keep seeing those red boxes going forward or if some weeks we'll get more action. But like I said, with football starting soon, which I don't want it to start soon, but it'll happen like in the next month at least. It's going to probably continue to go down, which is good for us because we'll still be grinding away.
Yep, it's how we move up to see at least make things respectable or win some cash, which would be great as well. But until then, we'll be back with you guys next week, recapping week 14 fab, some more drops possibly, and who knows what else we'll bring to the table here again. If you have any drops, let us know. We'll hit them up for you. But until then, check out Ben on Twitter at BreakingBen_T. I'm at BDNTrick. This was Benched with Bubba, episode 861. Catch you all next time.